Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to the guest we have today. Her name is Claire Ketchum, and she is talking about such an important topic that is super duper close, near and dear to my heart. Claire, thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here.
I'm so excited to dive into this, but before we do, we have to know, what is your background and where did your initial interest in body image come from?
So my initial interest was, I was in, you know, my early 20s, late 20s, and I had gained weight in college and I was trying to get it off and just sort of got into this dieting cycle. And I just spent basically all of my 20s trying different diets, trying to lose the same weight. And then I was watching Oprah one day and I was introduced to the book called Women, Food, and God by Janine Roth. And so I was introduced to this concept of mindful eating. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I was so excited about it. And so that was the catapult that got me sort of interested in this topic. And so that's a little bit of how I got into it. And then I went down a rabbit hole, and I can go into as much detail or little detail of that as you would like.
You know, Oprah has played such a big part in so many people's health or weight-related or body image-related journeys. And I hear this a lot about Oprah in particular. And of course, you can feel however you want to feel about more recent developments, but she certainly got a lot of people started on mindful eating. For those that don't know, break down what mindful eating is.
So mindful eating is a concept that the basic is that you sit down in a quiet environment when you're eating and you pay attention to your hunger signals and your body's cues. And so you're, instead of following some arbitrary diet, you are just tuning into your own body and trusting yourself to know what you're hungry for, how you're reacting to the food, if you need more or don't need more. And so you just sort of stop that automatic eating. And it sounded really easy when I was listening to Oprah. I was like, oh.
Well, yeah, everything sounds deceivingly easy at first. Like, I can do that. Of course I can.
I had been mindlessly eating my whole life. And so I just found it really, really hard. Eventually, I did get good at it. And then I sort of had a traumatic event happen in my life. And all of a sudden, I couldn't do it anymore. And that's when I went and got a health coach certification, and that didn't really help. And so then I got another one. And that was what really led me to this concept that we have the best intentions. We know what we want to do. And then we have some sort of stressful event that happens in our life. And sometimes it's a big one. And sometimes it's just, you know, someone caught you off of traffic and you're annoyed. Like, it doesn't really matter what triggers it. But if your natural response is to eat food to reduce stress, then you're going to do it every time. And it doesn't matter how much you don't want to do it, you're going to do it. And so that is sort of this concept that I learned when I went to health coaching school. And that's the basis of what I teach university students.
And it's interesting too, with mindful eating, I'm speaking from my own experience, both in university and, you guys, sometimes I'm bad. Even today, it's easy to eat on the go because you have a busy and active lifestyle. Let's talk about that, because especially for university age students, you're going from course to course, you know, study to study, spending time with friends, exercising, fitting all that in is incredibly tough. And so then where are we thinking about our food and how are we thinking about it critically? It becomes challenging.
So I think that it really depends on your lifestyle. Like, I work with a student who, she goes to NYU, and we will literally go through her schedule. And say, like that's what we do. We're like, okay, well, what classes do you have on Monday? Okay, well, when are you going to eat lunch? and we figure it out and we come up with a plan versus just not having a plan.
And letting it go to chance. And that can be really tough.
Right. And so that is just one way to do it. You know, maybe they meal prep, maybe they go to Trader Joe's and buy lots of frozen things that they can just pull out quickly. If there's a million ways to do it, it depends if they have access to a kitchen, if they don't have access to a kitchen, if they're eating in the dining hall, not eating in the dining hall. Like, there's so many different variables, but the basis of it is that if you have a plan, then you're much more likely to follow it versus if you're just like, oh, wow, I'm starving, then you're likely to just eat whatever's in front of you.
Shifting a little bit, what was your relationship with food in your university years?
I ate like no one's business when I was in college. And so I would go to the dining hall and there would, because I went to a boarding school. So I had one dinner option when I was at a boarding school. And then when I went to college, all of a sudden there was like five dinner options. And I decided that I needed all of them. And so I would go and just like, I would get these massive amounts of food. And then I would, so that's why I gained weight. I mean, it's not really that. So I was eating a lot more calories than I had been eating before. I was also doing a lot of late nighting, which I really didn't do in boarding school because I had, you know, we had lights out. We had a dorm parent that went around, said time to go to bed. And I like to sleep. So I was like, good night. So I was doing late night eating and things like that. And I definitely was not taking into consideration whether I was hungry, whether I was not hungry. And if I had just done that, you know, I don't think I would have seen the weight that I had put on. But what I didn't realize is that even if I had wanted to eat mindfully, when stress hit, I wasn't going to be able to do it. And that's the piece that's really important for college students or university students to understand.
Mm-hmm. Can you expand on that a little bit? Because it's a really big piece of the puzzle.
Yes. So they'll have some sort of stressor. So maybe it could be, you know, you think this person's your friend, all of a sudden they stop answering your texts and then you start being like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? I'm such a loser. Everybody hates me. And you just have these thoughts and that acts. So then your stress is act, you know, your thoughts are just causing you to be even more stressed out. And when your body is in a stress state, it is its primary goal to get you back into a relaxed state as quickly as possible. So if your default habit to reduce stress is to eat food or to drink, you know, really to go get a coffee with lots of sugar in it, or maybe just to maybe graze all day. There's lots of different, people do other things, but if you have an issue with food, like that tends to be, and that's what you go to reduce stress, you're going to do it no matter what. And you're not going to, if you don't make that connection, you're not going to realize it's because you felt left out or you feel lonely. And that's actually the reason you're eating the food. You're going to blame yourself. You're going to say, oh my gosh, I'm such a loser. I don't have any self-control. What's wrong with me? And then that's going to increase your stress even more. And you just get stuck in what I call the chronic stress loop. And if you do this all the time and you're always soothing yourself with food, then you're just going to do it automatically no matter what until you learn to replace it with different things.
Mm-hmm. And it's like that Band-Aid solution, right? It's going to feel very good for a minute or an hour or a day, but then you get caught in that shame and blame because you know it's not the right choice for yourself. And I know that I do this in a bunch of different areas of my life or have before, but it's difficult when you feel so much shame to admit, oh, I've been doing this thing that isn't right for me.
Right. So that shame and guilt is just becomes another stressor and you just can't get out of that chronic stress. Because then you're like, oh my gosh, I just ate an entire bag of jelly beans. What is wrong with me? And then you're worried about that. But if you had dealt with how you felt about the fact that this person, whatever, isn't responding to your text, if you had dealt with that emotion, then you would have been able to solve the right problem, right? Yourself. Like, this is actually what's driving me to the food. I think it's my lack of self-control, but it's actually this uncomfortable feeling and I don't know how to feel it. So I'm just going to shove it down and eat some food.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I do you see this in a particular gender or is this affecting everyone?
It affects everyone. It's not defined, but I generally, you know, if if male has a hard time gaining weight, that's really stressful for them. If they're really skinny and scrawny, where if a female is skinny and scrawny, they like that. Like, that's not usually a problem for them. But both males and females gain weight and they feel uncomfortable about it. If they don't feel comfortable in their own skin, and that is different for everybody. Sometimes, you know, someone gains 5 pounds and they feel really uncomfortable. And sometimes it takes 30 pounds for someone to feel uncomfortable. And it doesn't really matter if you need to lose 5 pounds, 30 pounds, 50. If you feel uncomfortable in your own skin, you are going to increase that stress. You're going to feel stressed about it.
Mm-hmm. And when we think about university, we think about leaving your home, going to a new environment where you're nervous and you're having to assimilate into a new culture, into a new community. And that in and of itself is going to make you uncomfortable in your skin. But then we have this added stressor of a difficult or challenging relationship with food. And that makes it even worse. Let's talk a little bit about that topic of being comfortable in your skin. What does that look like? What does that feel like when you actually are?
When you feel comfortable in your own skin, that means that you are at a weight that you're not sitting there worried about it. Or like, how do these pants look on me? And, you know, oh my gosh, I should eat more vegetables, or I should do this. And you're coming from a place of like, what does my body need right now? What's going to make me feel more energized? What's going to make me feel like I have, you know, the focus to do well on this exam? And if that's what you're looking at, if that's your priority, then the weight part of it just falls away. And you're just like, okay, like I am using food to fuel my body. I feel comfortable in my own skin no matter what. And there's lots of different ways you can do that, because sometimes you don't feel comfortable in your own skin. And that's the reality, right? But going on a diet will not solve that problem. You know, learning how to listen to what your body actually needs and learning which foods are right for you, which foods are not right for you. And then all of the different things I can go into if you want to, if you need to talk about the other things that also help you make the right choices for yourself.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay. So I talk about there's 5 different categories of habits that I work with teens to help them implement into their day to help them stay out of that chronic stress loop that we were talking about. So the first one is to increase stress resilience. So that is just like when stress comes up in the day, like do you have ways to reduce that stress that don't involve eating? And that could be, you know, simple breathing exercises, that could be EFT tapping, that could be, you know, somatic practices. Like there's millions of,
it could be calling a friend and be creative. It could be so many different things.
Yes. But calling a friend can activate stress, because sometimes when we talk about things, it actually makes it increases the stress. When we do something that actually regulates our own nervous system, then the stress decreases. And talking to a friend is sort of like a different category. So increasing stress resilience is really just when stress happens and I'm feeling uncomfortable, do I have a way to reduce that stress that doesn't involve eating food? So that's number one. Number two is actually increasing balanced nutrition. So that is, you know, what foods are right for my body. It doesn't always have to be a vegetable. We definitely want to make sure we're eating vegetables. But, you know, it's also, you know, am I drinking soda all day? Am I, you know, chewing bazooka gum? That was what I did. I was like, oh, I'm not even eating. I'm just eating a bazooka gum, which is like so much sugar. So, you know, how do we have a balanced nutrition without being over-focused on like having to eat perfectly, right? Figuring out what works for us. Then it's increasing peace and joy. So peace would be, you know, things that make us feel more at ease. So that's getting enough sleep, maybe not scrolling on your phone all the time. And then joy would be like, you know, am I doing things that make me happy? Am I taking classes that I love? Do I like my major? Am I doing this major because my parents want me to and I'm miserable and I hate it? Which a lot of people do. So do you have things in your life that are bringing you joy? Because that's going to help you stay more at ease throughout the day if you're actually enjoying your day and you're rested. And then the fourth is increasing self-trust. So that is, do I trust myself to make decisions for myself? Or am I following the herd? Am I just doing this because so-and-so is doing it? Or do I actually like this? You know, do I like to stay up late or do I like to get up early? Do I want to take classes? And like, just knowing yourself and trusting that you know what's best for yourself and actually taking the time to pay attention to what you actually like versus just doing it because other people are doing it. So that's trusting yourself and knowing that you can make the right decisions for yourself. And the last one we talked about a little bit is increasing positive self-talk. So that is like, what are you saying to yourself? Like, you know, if you don't do well, you know, I know people, they'll get an 85 on something and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm failing out of college. Like, oh, I'm such a loser. Like, and they just beat themselves up and they're so hard on themselves. So what are you saying to yourself? And what can you put into place so that you catch yourself saying these horrible things to yourself? I'll do it so that no one's immune from it. But having strategies in place to make sure that when it does occur, you have ways to, you know, turn it around and shift it. And so that those thoughts that you're having all the time are positive or at least helpful, right? Maybe not as a,
not counterproductive.
Right. Versus like, I'm failing out of school. Like, I'm really upset about that. You know, what could I have done better? Like, what could I put into place to make myself feel better? And that would increase your peace, right? So if you have horrible study skills, you know, maybe improving your study skills would be something that you need to work on. And so there's a million different things that you could do. It just really depends on your unique situation, which is why there's not one size fits all, you know, solution to maintaining a feel-good weight and positive body image, because it really depends on your preferences, you know, your background, where you're coming from, like, you know, what kind of school you're at. Maybe you're at a high pressure school. Maybe you're at, you know, a school that's not that challenging for you and you're not really that stressed out about it. You know, there's so many different variables.
Mm-hmm. And so many preferences. And I want to key in on what you said on number four, which is increasing self-trust. Now that has been huge for me in my life. If I'm going up to do something scary or challenging, or like even before I gave my TED talk, I gave one a couple years ago, I didn't feel nerves in the way that I would have prior to that because I'd built so much self-trust. And I knew that even if I made a bad decision or a wrong choice or did something that went against my standards, I knew that I could still make it up to myself, that I would be kind to myself, that I would have my own back. And I think that's a big issue when we think about, you know, feel good weight, when we think about body image, is if you don't have your own back, if you know that you're going to say unkind or hurtful or incredibly cruel things to yourself, that's not a loving space to be. And it doesn't make your body feel like a loving space to be.
No, definitely not. And if you don't trust yourself to make decisions, then you're always looking outside of yourself to solve the problem. And so you're looking for the diet.
And that can be so dangerous in the age of social media. And I want to pin that too. There are some very dangerous diet suggestions on the internet.
Yes. And so the thing about diets is that there are so many different ways to approach things. And that's why the balanced nutrition part is a piece of it, even though I don't spend like that much time talking about actually what people are eating, because what might work for one person is horrible for another person. And just even if it's your sister, like it could be like, she might feel amazing, you know, eating low carb. And you might be like, I feel exhausted. I feel drained. I feel cranky. And if you trust yourself to like, I'm going to try eating less carbs and see how I feel, then you can make that decision for yourself. And that's where the mindful eating comes in. It's like, what feels good for me? Like, if I eat if I ate potato chips, I feel fine. If I eat this, I feel gross. Like, you know, and you just learn to trust yourself versus following arbitrary diet rules. And that's a huge part of it. But it's also like, you know, if someone treats me badly, I trust myself to say like, that's not okay. And versus just taking it. And then that increases your stress. That makes you feel bad about yourself. And so it's not only about the food. It's in all life decisions. It's like, I trust myself to make the best decisions for myself all the time, not just about what I'm eating, who I'm spending time with, you know, what classes I should be taking, what major I should be doing, who I want to be friends with, how I want to spend my time. Like there's all of these things that people get pressured into doing. And as we get older, we get better. I'd be like, I'm not doing that, you know? But when you're 20, you're like, okay, I'll just do what mom and dad are telling me to do. Like, that's what most teenagers do.
It is. And what you're saying makes so much sense, because feeling good in your body is a lifestyle thing, but you have to love the rest of your lifestyle to address this area. So if you feel terrible about yourself, if you're in a relationship with a man or a woman who's always putting you down or saying cruel things to you, it doesn't matter how much you diet or address this, it's not going to feel good. It has to be comprehensive.
Exactly. And so it's people are like, well, you know, if you heal this relationship, if you create a boundary with this person, for example, you know, because you know that that person doesn't make you feel good. And so they have to be in your life. So you're going to create a boundary around with that person. And your job is to hold the boundary, not to make them listen to it. You know, that's like another thing to learn. Then you feel more in control and you trust yourself that you're not going to let people take advantage of you. And that's a powerful place to be, not a helpless place to be. And that keeps your body at ease. And when your body is at ease, then you don't get driven to these default habits like eating junky food.
Mm-hmm, because you know that you've built up an established rapport with yourself, if you will, that you make the best choice that you can for yourself in the moment. And I do want to say that too. We are not people that make perfect choices. Humans don't make perfect choices. It's so important to give yourself grace minute by minute, moment by moment, day by day to do what's best that day.
Exactly. Because what might make sense in one moment, you know, you might let somebody do something and then another person like, no way, like you're not that important to me, like you're out. And then like with food, you might be like, you know what, right now, like I have a big exam coming up. I need to really like fuel myself really well. I'm not going to eat any junk food. And then you might be at a friend's birthday. You're like, yeah, I got two pieces of cake today. Like it doesn't, there's no set way to be. It's just making decisions that are the least stressful. So like if eating really well right before exams is going to be less stressful, then that's what you should do. If you're like, oh my gosh, I cannot even worry about what I'm eating when I'm doing an exam. I just need to get if that's less stressful to go and get fast food when you're studying for exams, then that's what you should do. Like, there's no wrong way to do it. It's whatever is less stressful for you in the moment, and every day that could be different.
Mm-hmm. And it's knowing yourself and building that trust and intimacy with yourself to say, hey, this is how I operate when I'm really stressed. This is how I operate when I'm at my best. And I have to reestablish that in my life. Here's how I operate when I'm not doing well. Here's how I operate when I do, because it's dramatically different.
Yeah. And just tuning into listening to your body and taking that time to be like, wow, I feel really on edge. And cravings can be a really great way to figure that out. You're like, wow, I would like to shove an entire box of donuts down my face right now. And you're like, what's going on? Like, what's happening right now?
This is a warning sign.
Right. So I don't think of cravings as being a bad thing. I think it was like, if I am really like not tuned into my morning practices that keep me at peace, then, you know, maybe like my stress starts building up and I'm like, okay, I need to like maybe set aside like a half an hour and just really like dive into this and figure out what's going on and sort of release these emotions from my body. And that's like a really important skill that university students can learn, is how, like, instead of letting things build up. And before you had said like maybe you could text a friend, and that's certainly a great thing to do, because that can add joy as far as like feeling connected and feeling like you have somebody to support you. But other times, you know, if you're just complaining to this friend and then to this friend and then to this friend and to this friend, you're actually amplifying that emotion. You're not decreasing it. So if you have a strategy to process emotions and to get them out of your body without amplifying them, then that is a really great strategy to have, especially when you're in university and you're under so much pressure and you're just learning that skill.
Mm-hmm. Now, Claire, I have a hard question for you. I think you're up to it. You're a great speaker. If you were going to give three pieces of advice to university students, they can be related to this. They don't necessarily have to be. What would those three pieces of advice be?
I would learn how to regulate your nervous system and prioritize time in your day that you takes time to check in with yourself and have some sort of ritual where you are listening to yourself. And so if that's meditating, if that's journaling, if that's just literally sitting for a minute before you eat and just eating mindfully, like there's lots of different ways to do it, but having that practice is so helpful. getting enough sleep.
Like, I love to sleep, you guys. Sleep is like my favorite thing.
And I know that my kids are a little bit older. My kids are 25 and 22 right now. So they're both out of college now. But I know that they would not listen to me. So I don't know if anyone will listen to you, but if you will listen to me, get more sleep. It's so, so important. And I think the other thing that would be really a great thing for, I mean, I could name way more than three, but these are just three that come to my mind, is sort of curating a positive feed. So you're going to be online, you're going to follow people. Make sure you're following people that make you feel good and don't stress you out. Don't follow, if you're like, I wish I could be like them, and stop following them. Like, if that's how they make you feel, if they make you feel bad about how you are and what your life looks like, don't follow them anymore. Like, just, or at least snooze them for a month. And follow people who make you feel inspired, make you be your best self. And so my feed is lovely. Like, I follow lots of beautiful people. I watch lots of puppies, you know, but if you follow all doom and gloom, then you're just saturating yourself with that. And that's just going to make you feel stressed out. So it's just something to be aware of for university students, because I think that a lot of them, it can be hard to not be in that comparison game.
It is. And that's a beautiful reminder that you actually do have control over your feed. I know from personal experience and from what I've heard too, it's easy to feel at some point like you lose control of it. So that's a really, really good reminder.
Yeah, it's actually pretty easy. Because that's when the algorithms are amazing, right? Because if you start following positive people, they're going to show you more positive people. I follow a lot of people who talk about how to regulate your nervous system. And I get different ways to regulate your nerves in my feed all day long. And it's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. You have to choose what you want to see. And speaking of what you want to see, is there a quote or a mantra that you live your life by?
A quote or a mantra?
I know it's a hard one, isn't it?
I guess not really. I guess, like, I mean, I have a lot. So I'm trying to think. I'm like, not one specifically, but sort of like, everything's going to work out okay for me is sort of something that I always think about. Like, no matter what happens, it's for my it's for my growth. And whatever, like, if it's a horrible situation, then I'm going to get through it. And it's going to teach me something. Like, you know, when I learned how to eat mindfully and I was so excited and I thought I had it like down, I was like good to go forever. And then something happened in my life and it didn't work anymore. And that was really frustrating and really annoying. But in the end, it brought me to learn this whole other way that I'm now able to share with other people. I was a teacher for 20 years and I had no intention of becoming a health coach. I was like, that was not why I did it. I just did it really for my own personal benefit. And then because I was working with teenagers in the classroom, I was like trying to get them to do what I was learning. And they were like, yeah, whatever, Mrs. Ketchum. They were like, we're not interested. And then, but every once in a while, I would like get a student to do something. And then I would be so excited. And then I just started working with teens. And that's sort of what like led me down this rabbit hole. But if I hadn't had that negative experience, I wouldn't have grown into this person who's then like spreading this message. And I'm really excited to be doing it. So, you know, you just never know. You just never know when something that's really, really hard and challenging is actually going to be one of the best things that's ever happened to you.
The same. I have a very similar opinion on that quote. That was the same way for me. If somebody wants to find you, if they're like, I absolutely love her, where do they go?
Oh, so on Instagram, I'm at claireketchum.ck. And also my website is claireketchum.com.
Amazing. She keeps it simple and easy to find her. Claire, I've had so much fun with you. You are so effervescent, have so many great things to share. And we really, really appreciate your insights.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.